Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, and have a wonderful lineup of guests for tonight's listeners. We have a couple of topics that have a common theme, perhaps two. And the topics are a little focused on something that we've been hearing much in the news lately, about the environment. Last week, with a 2019 United Nations Climate Action Summit in New York City, we have a couple of people in the Lehigh Valley who are offering opportunities for us to artfully think about the environment. Our first guests are Stacy Brennan, Curator of Education for the Lehigh University Art Galleries, and Mark Wansidler, Curator of Exhibitions and Collections. And we're here to talk about their current special exhibit that's in the Zollner Art Center Art Galleries. It's called Crocheting Coral Reef.
Yeah, the Crochet Coral Reef is a project started by Australian twin sisters Christine and Margaret Wertheim, who in 2005, in response to the coral bleaching that people were seeing in the Great Barrier Reef, decided to begin crocheting a coral reef.
And that's the oddest thing. If you see pictures of this, you were tricked. It's almost like a Trompe l'Oeil installation. That's yarn?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they discovered the work of a mathematician from Cornell University, Dr. Dana Taimina, who found that these forms that exist in corals could be crocheted really easily through a kind of mathematical algorithm. It's a form of geometry called hyperbolic geometry, and all of us at Lehigh are learning about it and how we can make it with our hands right now through crochet.
And is that because the coral reef itself does grow in a geometric type of pattern?
Yeah. Well, sea slugs and corals and other life forms under the waves form these hyperbolic shapes naturally, whereas we've all had to, you know, evolve our mathematical models to catch up. But sea slugs do it just by their nature.
Is that part of the Fibonacci series with a snail and the proportions of size type things? Something,
you know,
similar?
It grows. It's related to forms that grow based on mathematical additions. And that's why crochet is such a perfect medium, because you stitch a certain number of stitches per line, and then you add based on a mathematical formula, and these kind of crenellated curling forms happen. And then the imagination enters the equation, and people start mutating the forms, and they grow into these wonderful imaginative reef forms.
You know, when you say people are imagining, is that the people who are actually crocheting itself, or...?
Yeah, well, the project very quickly grew beyond the two Wertheim sisters to include now over 10,000 collaborators worldwide. And at Lehigh University, we are working on our own satellite crochet coral reef.
How's that happening?
So every Tuesday evening from 5:30 to 7, we're raising the reef. We have our partners from Conversational Threads and Emmaus, who are coming to teach people how to crochet and create forms to add to our satellite reef, which we will build through the course of December, and then it'll be part of the Lehigh Art Collection.
What is it like to install something like this in a gallery? I mean, it's obviously a very fluid piece. It keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So when you discovered this piece, mm-hmm, and then you pitched to bring it to Lehigh, how does a curator work in that equation of, oh, discovery, and I found this online, and then make it real?
Oh, sure. Well, at Lehigh University Art Galleries, as a teaching museum that's inside of Lehigh University, we're always looking for ways to find connections between what's happening in the arts and in the galleries and everything else on campus, right? So we were looking for projects that would have intersections with other departments like mathematics and, in this case, science fiction and ecology and all kinds of different areas. So we began looking for something like that, and that's how we stumbled on the idea of the coral reef. And then it's a process of contacting the foundation that manages the coral reef, the Institute for Figuring, which is the project of Christine and Margaret Wertheim, and then having conversations about how we might bring it to Lehigh.
And how did you discover these two women?
I first heard about the Crochet Coral Reef listening to a radio interview on the podcast On Being with Krista Tippett, which is a great podcast. Everyone should click, go to their podcast and
after they hear
WDIY's follow.
Yes,
podcast, right after that. Yes. And they, and she had interviewed Margaret Wertheim many years ago about the project, and that's how it first came to my attention.
Mm. And a few weeks ago, you had Christine. Or was it Margaret?
Actually, Margaret. Margaret was here with us to help install the show and to work with Lehigh students to teach them about hyperbolic geometry. And she gave a terrific artist talk in Baker Theater at Zollner Arts Center and helped us install the show. Yeah.
What an opportunity for the students.
And then she left 2 days later to go to Venice because the exhibition is also on display in the Venice Biennale currently.
Oh my goodness.
Two places on the earth.
Yes. Worldwide phenomenon.
So as visitors come to see this exhibit, what might they need to prepare themselves for? What are the things that might shock them perhaps or take away?
Well, it's a great scavenger hunt for the eyes, right? You can explore these coral forests that are in the gallery. And as you look at them, you start to discover familiar forms inside of them. There are lots of recycled single-use plastics that have become parts of the coral reef. If you look closely, you will find things like coffee creamers and zip ties and bags from the grocery store and recycled VHS and cassette tape, and all of these things that have become either instantly obsolete or obsolete over a number of years and have found their ways into the ocean and have unfortunately become part of the ocean non-ecology.
Mm-hmm. And is that an intentional placement? Or, I mean, this is obviously not for fun. It's for a statement, yes?
Yeah. They, you know, growing up in Queensland, Australia, in the shadow of the Great Barrier Reef, they were really sensitive to the changes that were happening in the environment, the reef being a particularly fragile and susceptible life form on this planet, and was hit hard and early by climate change through these massive bleaching events where whole sections of the reef just basically die and turn to bone and white.
Right. And the thing about the coral reef is when it bleaches, it's dead.
Yeah.
So the color is the life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you also had mentioned earlier in our conversation before we came on air that there is a section which is also bleached.
Mm-hmm.
How is that working?
Yeah, there's a beautiful one of the sculptures. They're each called coral forests. Is made entirely of white plastics. So it's in some ways it's the most beautiful and the most tragic piece in the exhibition.
Beautiful garbage.
Beautiful garbage.
Now, was this garbage collected in some way, or how did that material come to fruition?
Well, they set out, I think their first idea was that they would work from their own garbage and try to, be conscious of plastics in their lives and collect all of their own garbage and make it into things. But the scale of the project expanded so quickly that it really has become a community effort.
Oh, so it's actually not a landfill.
Right. None of this is going into a landfill. It's going into a sculpture.
Yeah. And since they're using these plastics, that sculpture will last for millions of years because it does not decompose either.
It's the most archival thing in the whole Lehigh collection. Yeah.
Okay. What are some more educational opportunities, Stacey, that people can engage with this exhibit?
So we have opportunities to walk through the gallery to participate and add to a hyperbolic reef that we have in the gallery. We have a maker space there where you can bring a class if you're a teacher or a professor. We also have these Tuesday Raise the Reef workshops we'd love people to participate in. They can bring in things from home as well to add to the reef. And then the third Sunday of every month, we have a family workshop that is free and open to the public.
What types of things can people bring from home to add to it?
We've been thinking about ways to recycle CDs, grocery bags, dry cleaner bags. There are ways to strip those down into fiber or to smaller pieces and to crochet them and create kind of coral
six-pack rings.
Six-pack rings would be good. We've thought about pods from coffee makers.
Mm.
And, once you open your eyes to how everything is packaged in single-use plastic, you can start to think about ways that you can reuse it, which it would add and contribute to the sculpture.
Is there any type of advocacy work that's also going on concurrently with the exhibit with other groups on campus?
Well, Lehigh is actually October, as we're just entering October, is the month of water at Lehigh. So across campus, there are all kinds of events going on to highlight ocean ecology and water purification and all of those sorts of things.
Mm. And also at Zollner, for the next 3 months, there are a number of events that tie into sustainability, both through performance art as well as exhibitions in the gallery.
Can you name a few?
Scrap Arts, which is a group that's coming in that upcycles various things to make instruments. So they will be performing in the next month at Zollner.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know that Deborah has been trying to get them in for a couple of years. I'm so glad to see that come to fruition. Deborah Sekarak is the former artistic director at Zollner Art Center. Where can people look online for more information about the exhibit and the art galleries in general?
You can find us at www.luagluag.org, where all of the information is listed. Pop by the gallery any day, Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5, and on Tuesdays, 11 to 7.
11 to 7. Is the gallery also open if visitors are coming to see a show at Zollner? Is it open, or is it just those hours now?
Yeah, we usually have the galleries open about an hour before a show begins, so you can stop in first to see that. And then we also have 6 other galleries across the Lehigh University campus, which are free and open to the public. All of that information, again, is on our website at luag.org, where you
Wonderful.
Can see amazing works from a selection of 16,000 works from our collection.
16,000.
16,000.
Are you sticking them under your desk or something?
Some of them.
Yes, okay. Well, I want to thank Mark Wansidler and Stacey Brennan for joining me on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. We're going to take a very short break, and I hope that listeners are intrigued and inspired to go over to the galleries in the Zollner Art Center to check out Crocheting the Coral Reef.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Back with a wonderful artist of the Lehigh Valley, Rose Moore, who is also a curator. She's a curator of vintage clothing, and she's a milliner. Rose, welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Oh, thank you.
And this is your first time on radio?
No, actually, I was here when we did the steampunk fashion show for the Kemmerer Museum.
And steampunk being that you had done a lot of hats or?
We did 28 costumes and hats and a story for the Kemmerer Museum. Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And your store, your studio, mm-hmm. I know you have many things. You're centered in Hellertown now.
Yes, 1561 Main Street next to Fry's Health Food.
Mm-hmm. And it's an adventure going into your store.
Yep.
And what's interesting is you have a statement about the clothing itself.
Well, it's eclectic.
It's eclectic, yes.
Yes. Ann Roth told me I have exotic taste, and I didn't know whether to accept that as a compliment or be insulted or crawl under the table or what. But it's very unusual. I don't just accept something when it's old or vintage. I a black dress is a black dress. I want to see something unusual. I like unusual buttons. I like a lot of feathers. I like, sequins and just different things. It has to have something unusual about it.
Now, you have been doing this for a number of years,
yes.
Doing this, meaning going to estate sales,
mm-hmm.
all up and down the East Coast.
all over the world.
All over the world, mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, oh my yes. goodness.
How do you find out about these?
We search. People tell us. People call us. My husband and I have a reputation, so they call us up and we go. And we have a lot of adventures, which we're putting in a book, and that will be out before Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because you are fun to follow on social media. You are very active in, you get models to wear some of the clothing mm-hmm. that you have and the stories that come with them.
Right.
And that's, so it's not a picture book.
No.
It's a story
book. It's a story book.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be some pictures probably, but it's called I Want to Live Forever. And it's about the memories that go into, well, it's our life and what we wear and how we represent ourselves and the memories that get put into the clothing. And so I am a keeper of memories.
And you said something when we were talking this weekend. You were saying something about they never die.
No.
Clothing never dies.
No.
It just waits
just
for another.
It's just a pause.
It's just
right.
a pause, and it
nothing
waits for
nothing ever
another.
Dies. Nothing does. Nothing. It just lies and waits until somebody comes and chooses it, and it's for them, and then they add their memories to it, and then it goes on to live that life.
Yes.
And then they'll hand it down to somebody, or it goes into a vintage shop or a Goodwill, and, you know, some of the stories, some of the things my husband and I, the adventures that we've been on are hysterical, and so I put a few on Facebook, and Bathsheba Monk came running into my shop and she says, we have to do a book. And so away we went, and that's what we're doing.
Well, I wonder if you can give our listeners a preview story.
No.
Okay, then.
No, I'm only kidding. there was a story where my husband and I, we went to a drag theater that was closed. It closed in 1980 and or thereabouts, and the wrecking ball was outside, and we had 45 minutes to go through it and grab what we wanted.
And how did you find out about a closed drag site?
It was somebody told somebody, a friend of a friend of a friend, and wow. I got an email, and away we went. And the next thing you know, my husband and I are running through this place. My husband has like hats on his head and bow is wrapped around his neck, and we're throwing stuff out the windows, and it's crazy. It was crazy. It was fun. And it was also sad to see the stuff that we didn't take just get wrecked, you know,
in
the rubble. So we hate to throw anything away. We don't. Our garbage is like scraps of paper, little bitty, itty bitty things. We don't throw anything.
So if you take a garment, And it's perhaps unwearable. What do you do with that?
Well, we have to see what's unwearable about it. Okay, so I had a black dress that was wool on the top, and it was beautiful. The bottom was wool. The top was wool. The bottom was taffeta, and it had beautiful soutache trim on the bottom. But the top had all moth holes, and the moth holes were so big, they were like sometimes as big as a dime, like really, really big. So I couldn't do anything with that. I mean, I could have put maybe an applique over it, but it would have not been in the same time period, and it just wouldn't have looked right. So I just took the bodice off. I made a taffeta waistband. You had a button. You have a skirt. Hmm. So you have a skirt. You still save something. And, you know, we make dolls, so maybe the top became something, you know, for a doll. Or maybe it's going to be into the rag rugs, you know, that we do. Or it'll be into a wall art or something. Nothing really gets thrown away, which is why our warehouse is stuffed. And we have storage units, and we have boxes marked, you know, scraps of black satin.
Earlier, you mentioned Anne Roth, and Anne is, for our listeners, she's a costumer, and I think she's actually won a couple, I don't know, significant awards for her work.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is you have a familiarity that is encyclopedic of knowledge of history, of clothing and style.
I think people our age, you know, we've lived a long time. I mean, I'm going to be 58, so you know, I'm not young anymore. So I've lived a lot, you know, I've worn a lot of these things in school and what have you. I mean, I went to school when we couldn't wear pants,
yes. You know.
And and I remember my mom wearing different things and the rubber girdle and the long line bra. Mm. And so, you know, it makes me laugh when some young girl says, you know, in the 60s, we wore this. And I'm looking at her like, no, we didn't walk around like that. But, yeah. You know, whatever.
So it's interesting that if somebody's particularly looking for something very unique, I mean, mm-hmm. I can say as personal as someone who's very lover, I love your work. I think it's just amazing. You know, you develop a relationship with people,
mm-hmm.
and you get a sense for their
style.
Well, their personality as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's neat that I can go in and I can just dive into history. I can. The fabrics, the brocade, the button work, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible the gems that you're finding,
mm-hmm.
and you when you stop into your store, it's not a quick in find. You gotta invest
some time.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to spend some time, and it's really hard when people. We had a situation on Saturday when someone wanted to bring a small dog in with her. Oh. And I said, I'm really sorry, but, you know, we get everything cleaned. Everything, every single piece of clothing gets cleaned. And we have to be very careful, mm-hmm. because we don't just take it to a dry cleaner and say, here, clean this. We have to take it to a vintage dry cleaner.
Oh.
We take it to New York, and they have to put it under a light, and they have to, because sometimes we find something where the fabric is just ready to tear. I mean, if anybody puts it on, it'll just tear. So they have to spray it. They have to make sure it doesn't tear. And we put a lot of love in our garments. So, and we can't just have people come in there with, and we love animals. We do, but I would love to have a cat or a dog as a mascot in there, but I can't, mm-hmm. you know, because what if someone, you know, is allergic, and then it's on my clothes, and I have a lot of wools, and I have, you know, and I'm forever fighting, you know, little insects and stuff like that. So it's tough. It's always a challenge.
Does do customers start to pick up a little bit around I don't know, Halloween, you know, coming up?
Well, customers, I would say June, July, and August were very slow, and that's when I travel a lot. And then we do pop-up shops also. So
You're going to be doing something kind of significant.
Oh, in a couple of weeks. We're doing Manhattan Vintage October 18th and 19th in New York.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What is
well,
that?
It's like a really big, like the biggest vintage show around. And people come from all over. There's big stars that go. And there's about 80 vendors that get invited to go. And it's on 28th Street, and it's $15 or $20 a ticket.
And that's October 19th.
18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. yeah. 11 to 7, I believe.
So to be invited to a show of this significance means that you've been doing your work for a long time and building a reputation.
I'm honored.
So
I'm really honored to be asked.
Yeah, and so the show is, it's not a fashion show per se.
I would call it a fashion show too, because the people that go are going to be decked out, you know, and they're going to wear their vintage and show it off. People who collect vintage dress every day, because fashion is a fad, but style is all you. That's your personality, and that is what you are.
Yeah.
So, people are going to be walking around showing who they are.
Yeah. And that's, you know, when I first came in, I said, you got to understand, I wear Chuck Taylors. And you were able to find dresses to go with my Chuck Taylors.
That's right.
That's pretty incredible.
That's right.
And I think as an artist, the millinery is something else. Is it almost a dying art, do you think?
I think any time that an artist does something with their hands, it's a dying art, because nobody has the patience for anything anymore. Mm. So you have to be patient. And
Yeah. Well, how can people find out more about your work?
They can go online. Our Instagram is at RC Moore Vintage, and our website is rcmoorevintage.com. And also our Facebook, RC Moore Vintage. And, you know, just come and read about us. Buy our book when it comes out before Christmas and look us up.
Yeah, and if somebody wants to learn a little bit more of those stories, just get online and just go scroll back a few.
Yeah, you'll get a few. Right, right.
You'll get a good taste. Well, Rose, thank you so much for joining us in Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Listeners, if you have a chance to see the exhibit at Lehigh University Art Galleries or check out some of the work at Rose's store in Hellertown, please take care and do so. Again, listeners, thanks for joining me. My name is Sheila White. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon.